You guys like wearing clothes, right? All right, cool. I was just checking. HoopStateStore.com. We have some Hoop State clothes for you. Some little merch. Nothing too crazy. You know, nice hoodies with the Cardinal on it. The State Bird long sleeve t-shirts with the same design. We got the area code t-shirts. We want everyone to rep their code. The first area code to sell out of their t-shirts gets a special edition shirt made just for them. You don't want that, right? You want a special edition t-shirt, right? Well, rep your code. Buy them. Buy them all for all I care. I want everyone to make sure that they have everything locked in the merchandise department. So be sure to do that. HoopStateStore.com. HoopStateStore.com. And in case you didn't hear me the first two times, HoopStateStore.com. There is a whole lot going on with the Hoop State Network, and I want to make sure each and every one of you are completely locked in with everything we have going on. Simple. Go to YouTube, type in Hoop State Network, hit subscribe. Go to Twitter, type in at the Hoop State, follow. Go to Instagram, type in Hoop State Network, follow. It's really that simple. Spotify, Hoop State Network, subscribe. Everything we have going on is going to be in that circle. We're going to be tweeting out articles from our website, tweeting out the pay-per-view stream links, merchandise, all that good stuff, videos, articles, everything you could ever imagine. It's under those umbrellas right there. So be sure to follow all those accounts, subscribe to whatever you need to, and be sure to stay locked in with everything we have going on throughout the rest of the year and throughout all of eternity. Don't ever unfollow, follow, don't ever unfollow. It's real simple. We'll see y'all soon. When my friends go, it was simple. When there is no, switch the tempo. I got right, I got heart, I won't die, I'ma fight. I go down, bet I strike, I go hard day and night, yeah. What is going on, everybody? Welcome in episode 2 of the Hoop State Live podcast here. Miles Mastrocola, Coach Anthony Simmons, Rod Bridgers. You guys just caught an unbelievable game. Simmons, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. If I can get my finger out of the camera right now, I was tripping. But nah, everything good, man. The Word of God game was a good one. I can't even front. It was a steel cage match.
Definitely. We'll get into it more in a little bit. Rod, how's everything with you?
Everything is good, man. You know, I'm here watching a national championship game. Bama's up. You know, money's looking good right now, so I'm good.
Yeah. Devontae Smith going crazy.
Yeah, he hurt. He out of the game right now.
Oh, really?
I think he broke his pinky hand in his finger or something.
Oh, hopefully that doesn't sound like anything too crazy, but he did his damage, I guess. But moving on to the game that you guys were just at, Word of God gets a huge statement win over Combine Academy. Both teams ranked top 25 nationally, and it seemed like it was a tightly, tightly contested battle. You guys were on the call for it.
Right.
Simmons, we'll start with you. What were your kind of thoughts on the game overall, and what do you think this means for Word of God moving forward, heading towards the Hoop State Championship?
Looking at it, I mean, both teams are rather similar. Both teams kind of need certain pieces to go. And I think it was it's a grudge match. Like, I see why it was close at Combine. And I mean, Word of God tough this one out. I mean, honestly, if Combine's shots are falling, they win. You know what I'm saying? They're still able to tough it, but like, Word of God did a good job of being battle tested. And I gotta tip my hat off to BJ Keith. Like, with 3 minutes to go, like, he made the plays necessary to tip the game in their favor.
Definitely. Rod, what did you see from Keith in those closing moments, and what do you think about the game as a whole as well?
You know, first and foremost, it was a really good game. It was a star-studded event. You know, not only was it a Hoop State in the building, you know, we had the legend, Bubba Chuck, Allen Iverson in the building as well, too. So, and to get him to come in the gym, you know, that was dope to see. But, no, in terms of the game, I mean, it was a good back-and-forth battle. I think what changed the game in the fourth quarter, that Word of God sent that extra defender at Dillingham because, you know, Combine short, you know, they lost Jalen Curry and Antonio Hamlin was there, but, you know, he wasn't able to play. Like, those two losses there was really the difference in the game just because, you know, Chris Robinson is a capable ball handler, but you want Chris to be a knockdown shooter. And, you know, Word of God did a good job of getting the ball out of Dillingham's hands, making guys make plays. And, you know, guys came up short for Combine tonight, but, I mean, I think it was a learning experience for them. But much credit to Word of God, it was a balanced effort. Like, you know, it was crazy. Like, when you look at this final box score, Saquon Harris was the leading scorer. He had 14 points, and it did not look like him. So, but, yeah, it was a good game. Good win for Word of God. Statement win.
Definitely. From watching from here, it felt like for the biggest thing for Word of God is they were, like, able to overcome adversity against a good team because – there was a stretch at the end of the third quarter where Dillingham kind of got it going, and then Word of God was kind of able to withstand that and throw a punch back, and it ended up securing them the win. So, you know, we talked about, you know, Combine, the ranking's going to fall, Word of God's ranking's going to go up. Combine was at 8. Word of God was at 25. These two teams, along with Liberty Heights, feel like they're all heading in the right direction and deserving of national attention. And the storylines for the Hoop State Championship coming up in about a month and a half, 2 months. Simmons, what are your thoughts on what that event could look like this year? And what are some storylines that you're kind of looking at now within the teams participating in that?
I think the biggest thing of it is to talk about it is, like, teams really look at it as a championship. Like, programs really, like, begin their year marking those dates on their schedule and their calendar and wanting to bring home a championship. The way it looks, I mean, it's still close because, like, that championship can go either way. Like, I don't think it's going to be something you're going to be able to call before it jumps off. I feel like, you know what I'm saying, because, like, you can really make a case right now of why those three programs, Liberty Heights, Word of God, and, you know what I'm saying, Combine can win. So I think a lot this month and a half, like, whoever's the healthiest, and then, you know, I think teams are going to have additions before that championship.
Yeah, and Rod, we mentioned those three teams right there. You also have Bull City. You have Winston-Salem Christian, who has had some rough games of late, but their ceiling is still high. Moravian, who showed they could beat anybody. Like, what does it say about the parity in the independent circuit right now in the state of North Carolina, knowing that it really is a dog-eat-dog world out there?
I just think it's a testament to just how good, how much talent we have in a Hoop State. I mean, literally, every team that you named, we actually talked about earlier in our chat with the top eight. Like, every team every team has a high major guy on that team. And that's crazy, like, in the state of North Carolina, you know what I mean, just in one state. So, in terms of parity, I mean, you're going to get good matchups in the league. So, but like I see, it's like you said, right now, the cream of the crop is probably Combine, Word of God, and Liberty Heights. You can rank them however you want. I mean, I know Liberty Heights has a big game coming up next week against Victory Krishna and Rock Hill. And then I think they got Word of God the following week in Raleigh. So, definitely looking forward to those two matchups here. I know Liberty Heights has been out for a little bit, but they're starting to get things back rolling again. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens going down the stretch.
Definitely. And quickly, while we're on Liberty Heights, before we talk about the battle between Bobby Pettiford and Terquavion Smith, Jonas Adu ranked the number 5 center overall in the country, 33rd prospect in the country on Rivals, kind of cementing his stat. And not even there yet, but his ascension is now for everyone to see. Simmons, I know that's your guys, but I'm going to let Rod go first. Rod, what did you think about, like, that, seeing that for him?
It's about time, first of all. But second of all, it's like I told him earlier, this is a testament of the work that you put in. You know, I think, you know, with kids, we live in a society where it's all about instant gratification. What have you done now? I mean, sometimes the longer route is the way to go sometimes. And I think for Jonas, that was the case, you know. If you look at Jonas from a year ago now to the person he is now, like, doesn't look like the same kid at times, you know what I mean? So I just think for him, it's just, you know, it's just a testament of the way he worked and, you know, having the right people around him, making him successful. And I think the sky's the limit for Jonas. So
Simmons is one of those guys that's been in his corner since the very beginning. What is it coming full circle? Like, how crazy is it to see what he's doing and how special is it for him, you think?
For him, I think it's special, but I think it's his purpose. I think it's his calling. I think this is what he was put on this earth to do. As far as him making the jumps, I think it's the truth. I think the difference in Jonas and a lot of other people when it comes to rankings is Jonas was blessed with Team Curry and the camp schedule and Liberty Heights. Jonas has played against everybody. He's played against everybody. He's played against Chet. He's played against, like, he's played against the top. You know what I'm saying? He's played against the, you know what I'm saying, the top 100, and that's where he stands. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's just what it is. As far as, you know, just the overall thing, I think it's dope. I think he's the poster child for what the Hoop State is supposed to be in a lot of situations. Kind of like leading to what Ry said. Like, I mean, I'm always humble about it, but, I mean, to be quite frank, you know what I'm saying, a lot of people, like, said Jonas – was ass. Like, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people said a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? And, like, you know, now it's like, oh, like, you know what I mean? Let's keep it real. Like, this kid kept his head down, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, this kid did what he needed to do to put himself in a position now to be arguably, I mean, one of the one of the, who knows, like, what story. He could be one of the best players to ever come out of NC. You never know. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I remember us having our conversations, you know, earlier. But, I mean, I think it's pretty much clear now. I mean, he's the number one player in the state of North Carolina. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I think now, just depending on how Liberty Heights ends, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't see how you can't say he's not Gatorade Player of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, if they finish out the way they're supposed to, like, you know what I'm saying? I don't see how he doesn't, you know what I'm saying? Like,
at least get consideration.
Yeah, because, I mean, who knows where he could be in all-star games, all the situations. So, I just think it's dope for the kid. And lastly, I think it's dope for Liberty Heights and Mike Wright and those kids. Because the thing about it is like, with these situations, so many people think about the individual aspect, but it does a lot for programs. It does a lot for teammates and people they play with. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the kid becomes, if he does it right, can become a platform for other people and programs. So that's dope, too. And a shout-out to Mike Wright because, you know, Jonas got some big wins in Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? He did some things outside of Curry, outside of, you know, his previous high school, and which helped him in this situation.
Definitely. It's been awesome to see. And I'm sure for Jonas, the kind of guy that he is, being able to be that kind of platform for his teammates in this program, that also means a lot to him. But two other guys that are going to be going for that Gatorade Player of the Year, just like so many others, and we'll talk about another one later. Tre'Quavion Smith and Bobby Pettiford met again, and it seemed like it was just a battle of the Titans between those two, and it was a matter of which role guys stepped up on each team. Again, another game that you guys were both at. Simmons, what were your main thoughts on that one kind of coming out of it?
Farmville.
Yep.
I mean, their position to, once again, like, but when it's all said and done, that could be mentioned with the Kinstons, with the programs in the state, the Greensboro Days, that have five state championships or more. Like, I mean, it's crazy, man. But honestly, for real, like, I think it's a situation. I'm gonna be honest. For Farmville, I compare B.J. Freeman and Moravian to this. Mm-hmm. Like, this team and where they are caused him to be locked in the entire game. It causes him to be a leader. You know what I'm saying? It asks for him to do different things other than just score and be energy. And as of right now, like, I think he's doing that, man. I think he's doing that. Bobby is Bobby. You know what I'm saying? Like, Bobby, you know what I'm saying, is, like, he's one of the toughest checks in the hoop state. I love the way right now that he's knocking outside shots down. You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, we got it. Like, our show is different. Like, we kind of, you know what I'm saying, off the air with it, you know what I'm saying? But, like, Bob needs some help, you know what I'm saying, in that two-way situation. Like, he needs some help. Some other guys going to have to step up because Farmville just got too much, man. What you think, Rob?
I think you said it all. I mean, I think, Farmville, the biggest question, like I said on Twitter, the biggest question where it was going to be who could replace Justin Wright and Samaj Teal. Well, Jaden Pitt, Josh Short, they literally answered that question. Dontavious Short as well too. Like, those three guys have really stepped in a major way. And like, I mean, look, like, Jaden Pitt looks like a young Justin Wright. Like, literally, he wears number five. Like, it's crazy. He looks just like it's almost
the
like
looking ghost at Justin Wright.
The ghost, right? You know what I mean? So, and then like you said, you know, you bring off come off the bench with Dontavious Short. Then you got Alex Moy, like. It's just continuing to roll there for Farmville. So, Baby T, for all intents and purposes, man, is probably one of the best scorers in the region. Period. Like, you know, I think what he's gonna provide at the next level in terms of instant offense is something that NC State, and I know Miles, you covered him a lot. That's something they could use at right now. Like, just like his scoring punch, the way he scores, and the way he locks in, man. Like T doesn't get enough credit defensively too because he's long. And he can, when he sits down defending, he can guard, man. As far as for Granville, I mean, for South Granville, I mean, obviously everything begins and ends with Bobby Pettiford Jr. Bobby looked the part the other day. And just need the guys to step up with him, man. He needs the Colin Tanner had a really good game, but he needs the Caleb Hedgepeths, and hopefully the DeLorean Walker kid is okay. Made no mistake about it. That was one game. Like I said, South Granville is still a major player for the 2A state title. That was their first game, and you know, to play against the defending state champions, your first game is tough. So I think they'll be right there in the end in that Eastern Regional Final Four somehow, or the championship. So I mean, it's gonna be interesting to see.
Definitely. And I think the thing with Terquavion is the role that he's being put in this year, like you said, Simmons, with the BJ Freeman thing, like just kind of being relied on to just make sure you're carrying everything and picking up where everybody left off. That's going to really help him get ready for college, because that's all the intangible stuff that you need to be able to do to succeed at the next level. And for Bobby, it's just – I think it's fair to say Bobby's like the best leader in the state of North Carolina, in my opinion. I don't think there's a whole lot of questions about it. The way that kid kind of commands the troops, if he's able to garner a little bit more out of his guys around him, I think they're going to be a player too, just like you guys said.
To piggyback that, I want to swap that, because like that was something kind of me and Rod saw, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. At the game, like, you know, like I'm gonna be honest, like that's what we need to see Bob do.
Take over as a leader.
I mean, yeah, because it's like this is what, like, that's why I want to say the maturation of Baby T. Like the Baby T, the last 3 years, he would get a steal, he would dunk the ball, he would hit a three. That's when you would see his emotion. Mm-hmm. Like that's where it stopped. Like we watched him back to back nights. Anytime anybody does something on Farmville, he's clapping his teammates up. Mm-hmm. He's talking to them. Like mm-hmm. he's really engaged in all aspects of the game. And like it makes you look at him, like even when he has his plays where you like, I don't know, like he's so engaged in everything that like we got to get, like me and Rob was talking about it, like we got to start giving him some leadership love. Like this was a different to Quavion Smith. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like we saw him a lot this summer. Like this looks like he was looking like Justin Wright, man. Like,
turn the corner.
Yeah, bro. Like, yeah, bro. I got it. Like, yo, 100%. Like he more than a scorer.
Gotcha. More has been one of those things where you had to be there in person to really, really see it.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure is true.
I don't want to say this. He's pissed off now. I'm going to go ahead and tell y'all now, he's pissed off. I haven't talked to him. I don't plan on asking him about it, but you know why he's pissed off.
Now. Yep.
Yep.
He feels disrespect. He takes stuff like that personal.
Yep.
And he should. I mean, I'd be if it was me, I'd be pissed off. So.
Yeah. No, I agree. And to be real with you, the fact that the way you mentioned, like, he's just a guy that you feel real comfortable going to war with. That's probably why I have him as my top two guard in the state, because I just know that in a big game, in a battle, I don't have to worry about Terquavion Smith.
No, listen, it's not close. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? The Simmons and Bridge, I think we on the same page. Like, ABT is the best two guard in the state. Like, he's a dog. Like, like straight up. Dog, it's nothing. Like I coached basketball before, bro. Like straight up varsity, high level. Like that's what you want. Mm-hmm. That's what you're trying to take in the battle. Like straight up. Like it's no question. Like he's number one. Shooting guard, boom, boom.
Yeah, that's how I feel too. That's how I feel too. 100%.
I agree. And that, again, when you say that, that's no disrespect to anybody.
Our opinion.
That's what we see. That's what we see. It's what we see. No.
Yep.
100%. No. It's never disrespect, because we couldn't be here without the kids. We love each and every one of the kids. But if you're asking a situation, like it's certain boxes that check, that's that. Like if you're asking what's the number one, that's it. Right there.
That's it.
Number one from Farmville.
100%. Moving on to another kid that a lot of people consider one of, if not the top guard in the state, Breon Pass. Who, have y'all seen the numbers?
Yeah, I've seen the numbers, man.
The numbers, it's two games. It's a short season. The competition level is decent at best at this point so far for Breon. But 39 points, 15 rebounds, 9 assists, 5 blocks. I don't really know what else to say. Like, what do you guys think about the kind of stuff that he's doing and what you guys, what Simmons, what you saw in person against Shining Light.
Okay. Ry, you want to go first or you want me to go first?
You got it.
All right. So for me, I think I'm going to be honest. Like with this, with the podcast, I think that I think we want to be real with the direction we're going. So I'm going to be real about it. Like what we got to look at is it's like, you can't really look at the numbers and let the numbers get you crazy. This is why. Like in 2A, the stars of the top four teams all played on the same EYBL team.
Yeah.
So no knock, like that bump and the bump they get in their conference is two totally different things. So what you're going to see this year in statistics is wild. Like real talk. Like, let's break it down, bro. Not only did they play EYBL, Trez is going to Carolina, Bobby is going to Louisville, Baby T and Brianna going to State. You got ACC talents in 2A. Bro, they're getting third. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's why. Like, so you asking me why I was up with the numbers? That's absolutely why. You got an NC State player, you know what I'm saying, that's going to play and is that you're going to be writing about in this conference. Man, listen. Listen to me. I mean, we're fucking 30, 17, 9, 6. Like, that's what they're getting, bro. So, I mean, it's like, that's just what that is. But, like, it's crazy because – to take it back to year one, it's slight glaze, though. Like, yeah. This is Simmons. Breon could have went 50, 15, 10, and 10 if he pushed that, if he really put the pedal to the metal, because it was all right, isn't
it? It was 43 on 20 shots, I think.
Yeah, but listen, man, he was cooling. That's the crazy part, bro. So, I mean, that's what it is. Like, literally last games, because I'll give you a perfect example. These kids that we're talking about are so good. Bobby missed an attempt in the Farmville game where he bounced it off the floor in the game. Live action, full speed.
Not the first time he's done it.
The four kids we talking about are different, bro. It's not fair.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Rod.
No, I agree 110%. Like, I just think just the talent level with those four guys in particular – or just on a different level. But speaking of Breon, the crazy thing about it, after talking to him about the game, you know, the first thing he said, he was like, bro, I went crazy. I think I hit 1-3. And I was like, yeah, no, I think that's probably right. Like, just, you know, him progressing as a guard, like, especially with he fits so well with NC State, because NC State, outside of Cam, they really don't have a true point guard. You know, they put Shaq in there at spells. They put Beverly in there. Seaburn, and even Thomas Ellis. But I think for Breon, that's going to be the perfect scenario for him next year coming to NC State, because he can shoot the ball so well and score at different angles. I think that's going to help him move it on that next level. So it's just kind of playing. I mean, right now, Breon's just fine-tuning what he is, man. Like, we call it, Breon's the best athlete in the state, period, bar none. Like, let's not even question it. Like, if Breon wants to go play football on Sundays, that's a legit opportunity he definitely has. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so to see what he's doing on his basketball court and, you know, the start of the season, like, it's kind of like you expected, man. But, like, all those ACC guys, man, they're all going to get 25, 30-plus. Lucas Taylor had 35 tonight. You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah, right. It's child's play for these cats out here.
You know what I'm saying? So it's too – I mean, they're showing why they're ACC commits, you know?
Definitely. And I think for Breon, like, even though – take the numbers for what they are, he's still putting them out, but it's just adding to a historic high school resume when you look at both sports like that.
Oh, yeah.
That, it's absurd. It's absolutely absurd. Like, he's doing some, like, truly historic stuff at Reidsville in both football and basketball. So it's just –
he had a block against Shining Light. On four steps, he swiped the ball off the top square – off the right square, bro. Like, he 5'9", fam, like – It's crazy, bro.
Yeah. He's a lead athlete. Definitely. For sure.
Send our well wishes to Dontre Styles as a podcast as a whole. Hopefully he's feeling better. It looks like he avoided anything crazy serious. I don't know what his timetable for return is, but definitely a scary incident.
Yeah, I mean, Coach, I did get a chance to talk to him, man. He's good. it was just a little scary. But yeah, no, he's good. He's good. You know, it was more of, you know, just kind of taking precautionary thing, but no, thank God that, you know, it wasn't worse than it was. So
100%. Absolutely. He's going to UNC quickly, real quick. I didn't tell you guys about this before the podcast, but Caleb Mills is on the market, and it looks like it's going to either come down to Florida State or UNC. If he ends up at UNC, Simmons, I know you've coached against him. What does he bring? He's probably the hottest transfer on the market in college basketball right now, and he's from North Carolina, so I figured we'd mention him real quick.
Oh, yeah, I already knew. You know, I got real intel.
Inside sources, yeah.
I got real intel.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if he goes to Carolina, I mean, it's like, for us, like, I mean, that's needed. Like, yo, Caleb Mills with the ball in his hand and making decisions, I mean, just preseason, like, he was winning the war. Like, he's a dog, bro. So, for Carolina, I think it gives you another legitimate, you know what I'm saying, threat. Like, I don't know if Caleb's leaving. I haven't checked mock drafts or whatnot. But, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm taking Caleb Mills all day long. Like, Caleb Mills is already proven. Like, that's a bucket. He baked Storm. He baked Storm for 87 one time.
Prime I was sitting at the scorer's table. Coach.
Listen, yo, it, listen. That brother, we taking that brother all day long, man. Straight up. But I'm like, yo, like, if he ends up at Florida State – listen, bro, and I like Roy. That's the beat right there. Okay, he come out, yo. He out there with Lil Nerd, and he making you feel that. What you think, Rod?
I mean, I'm gonna be honest with you. If Florida State's in the mix, more than likely it's my man CY. CY is on the call, man. CY don't really miss on kids, man. You know, the last few kids he's got, they've all been pros, so. I just think it's a situation where, from what I was told about Caleb, and you can tell me if I'm wrong or not, I know he wants to go to a situation where he can play with the ball in his hand. He wants
there
to show
go.
That he can play the ball in his hand. Can he do that at Carolina? In that structure? Don't know. I don't know, especially when you got two other capable ball handlers. So you're going to kind of split that a little bit. Now, Florida State, Scott Barnes out of there. Scott Barnes top 10. So,
yeah.
Balls
if he was if he was to come to Carolina, Roe would have to promise him RJ would have to slide to Nate Breezy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And he would have to promise him the Kobe Cole Anthony. That's the way you have to play Caleb. Like real talk. Like playing against Caleb like that, you don't want that. You don't want that issue. I don't care who you got, man. I don't care who you got. Give him a flat space or a flat ball screen. And Lord have mercy. That's all I can say.
Yeah. I Caleb Mills is the first time I saw a player like blow up like right in front of me in like 2 hours.
Yeah.
You were there. Like I think he played y'all and then he played Felton and probably combined.
Yeah,
for
he
70.
Went for 50 twice, left with 100 points on the board. His line was crazy.
He got, got like 25 summer, offers.
Yeah, that summer. Like everywhere he went though, like he was popping. Like real talk, he was Chris Brown popping. Like he was good. Like wherever he went, like he had 75 coaches with him. Like you wanted to play them. So
yep, definitely.
Shout out to Sim. Sim thought he was cool that year too. He had ankle socks, all that. Like
that. Yeah, no, that was a fun summer watching that team for sure. Looking ahead to next week on the Hoop State Network. Well, really, this week now we have one of the games that we have is Lake Norman Christian and Shining Light. First off, before the Lake Norman Christian stuff, what did y'all see from Shining Light? Because it seems like they have a couple kids that can actually play a little bit.
They do. Really, it's a situation where you have a team full of coachable kids. Coach Harold Cohen has helped develop a son that's cooking in the ACC, and they play a pace game.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They play a pace game, and they press. You know what I'm saying? It's all right in their gym. So in a pandemic, it's overwhelming, the whole situation. You know what I'm saying? As far as the kids are concerned, they got, you know what I'm saying, two kids. They got the Nasir kid and they got the shooter, who both kids, like, you know, they have the ultimate green, so that gives kids some extra confidence or whatnot. So, I mean, they got a team where, you know, they got a couple guys that, you know what I'm saying, that they get it done. You know what I'm saying? And Coach Cone is able to get into basketball. They play at a good pace. Now, I think when they try to thump with some of the highest, harder, I mean, the the more highly competitive teams in the state, that's a little tough because now you got post play, you got bids and all that. And that's where I think it kind of cancels out. So, you know, Lake Norman has Joyful. Lake Norman has John. Lake Norman has AJ Applegate. Like, that's game, set, match. Hi-ya! Like, that's too much. That's too much.
Definitely. So Mason Padgett resigns. Not going to get in on that. But Pat McCarthy comes in and takes over. I mean, I, this is not our place, man. This is not our place. This is not our place.
That's all you, bro.
Now, okay, but we've both seen – we'll just talk about Pat coming in. Let's talk about Pat coming in. That's all we're going to talk about. Rod, he coached PSB Rise this summer. They were a really, really well-coached team. He's definitely a no-frills coach. Like, he's not going to take anything extra. He's there on an interim basis, so he really doesn't have anything to lose. What do you think, like, he's going to do a decent job there? Because I actually do. I think he's going to do a really good job there.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing I think he's going to do is – I think he's going to hold kids accountable there, man. I think that's the biggest thing that's missing in Lake Norman Christian, accountability. And it starts, you know, I mean, obviously, when you're dealing with a kid like Mikey, you know, it's probably hard to navigate those type of things. But I think McCarthy's the perfect guy to come in there and kind of try to right that ship for however long the ship will be continue to float. So, but yeah, I just, like I said, I think he's going to hold kids accountable there. So looking forward to see how Lake Norman can finish the season. Cause I mean, make no mistake about it. I mean, they have a very, very talented roster and, you know, a lot of kids that are worth watching, you know, so.
Definitely. Simmons, I know you saw that team a lot, the PSB team this summer, and, you know, I'm sure you know Pat through the PSB umbrella. What does he bring to the table as a coach?
I think just stability. You know what I'm saying? Like, somebody that's going to give them 100% each and every day. I think he has no hidden agendas. I think he just loves the game, you know what I'm saying, and appreciates, genuinely appreciates the opportunity. You know what I'm saying? So I think he's going to go in there, like Rod said, like, you know, try to create some type of culture in this chaos with 13 games left. You know, we wish him the best, and hopefully, you know, we'll get a chance to get those boys on the network and, you know, see how it goes from there.
Yeah, well, no, we're going to have them on Saturday afternoon at Shining Light, and that'll be the first time we see. I think they play Victor on Tuesday, and then the next scheduled game is then. So we'll see that. I think that really wraps it up for the most part for this podcast. Is there anything else you guys have to say before we say goodbye until next week?
Nah, not really, man. Just keep your mask on, man. You know what I mean? Sanitize your hands, man. It's a crazy world out there, man.
All right. Well, that's about it for Rod and Simmons. We appreciate you guys listening. Be sure to subscribe and tune in. Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast, be sure to subscribe and tune in. And we'll see you guys very, very soon.
When my friends go, it was simple. When the end's low, switch the tempo. I got right, I got heart, I won't die, I'ma fight. I go down, bet I strike, I go hard day and night. Yeah, I go hard day and night.